So this morning's reading is taken from the book of Jonah and chapter 3. If you're waiting on a pew Bible, when you get it, page 509. Okay, so Jonah chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to
God. Well, good morning, everyone. Great to see you all this morning. Why don't we just pray one more time? Father God, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Well, thank you that you're a good, good Father who has a heart that is so full of love towards your children. And I pray, Father, this morning that we may get a glimpse of your heart. Lord, would you speak to us? Lord, we love your presence. We love your spirit. We love it when you come and speak to us. So, Lord, would you do that this morning? For we ask it in your name and for the sake of Jesus' kingdom. Amen. Amen. So, as Paul said, we're continuing in our series looking at the book of Jonah this morning. And this is the fourth of a short series of five. So, we're going to be finishing next week before we get into the rest of our Christmas series. And the topic I've kind of got this morning, or the question really, is Jonah a heart for mission? A heart for mission. And as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of something that happened to me quite a while ago. Well, actually, I was in my 20s, so it clearly wasn't that long ago, but it was a little while ago. And I was sat in a pub with some friends, and we were there just, you know, sharing a pint, you know, sorry, each of us had a pint, you know what I mean, anyway. And sorry, this is going to annoy me if that stays there. And we were there just sat in a pub, and just a mixture of kind of Christian friends and non-Christian friends. And there was a particular friend there called Jess. And we were just kind of having a perfectly normal conversation. And then out of nowhere, Jess said this to me. She looked at me and she went, "Tim, do you pray for me?" And so I just said to her, I said, "Well, actually, Jess, yes, I do." And she said this to me. She said, "Tim, if you love me, then you will stop praying for me." She was probably the biggest atheist out of all of my friends at that particular point in time. And she said to me, if you love me, then you'll stop praying for me. Now, I don't know how you would have responded in that situation. I sat there slightly dumbstruck for a moment as I thought, what on earth am I going to say to this lady? What on earth am I going to say to my friend who's asking me to stop praying for her? And I said to her, I said, Jess, I do love you. I love you very dearly as a friend. But what you need to understand is this, that it's because I love you that I cannot not pray for you. I have to pray for you. I have no choice, because my love for you is so great as a friend that I have to pray for you. Then it was her turn to look dumbstruck and not to know what to pray, what to say. But it was like this kind of moment of clarity for me in my life, a moment of clarity where I understood that at the heart of mission, at the heart of evangelism, is actually love. At the heart of anything that we talk about when we talk about mission, at the heart of anything when we talk about evangelism, is love. At the heart of evangelism, at the heart of mission, is actually our heart for other people. It's our heart for people who don't yet know Jesus. It's our love for them and our desire for them to come and know the best thing that we've ever experienced, which is being in a relationship with Jesus, experiencing and knowing him for ourselves. And so to ask the question this morning, do we have a heart for mission? Do we have a heart for evangelism? Is actually, I think, pretty much the same thing as saying, have we experienced God's heart ourselves? Do we share God's heart for mission? Is the same thing as saying, are our hearts aligned with God's heart when it comes to evangelism and mission? Or are we in need of some open heart surgery here this morning? Do we need to change God to change our hearts so that our hearts are in alignment with his heart? And I think that Jonah chapter 3 has something very challenging to say to us about mission, challenging to say to us about what our heart is for evangelism and our heart in the way that we do mission and evangelism. Because chapter 3, I think, says something very significant about God's true heart towards those who are lost. So what then is God's heart towards those who are lost? Well, the first thing is this: God is a God of second chances. In chapter 3, verse 1, we read that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God says, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave to you. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. You see, it's not just the people of Nineveh who were lost in this story. As we've already seen over these preceding weeks, Jonah in his own way was lost too. He'd rebelled against God. He'd gone his own way. God had taken him down to the depths through his disobedience, his active disobedience to God's call. And he too was lost. But God takes him out of that place of the depths. He brings him back up and he gives him a second chance. He gives him a second chance to do what he has been called by God to do. And perhaps that's the word that some of you need to hear this morning. Perhaps some of you need to hear this morning that God is a God of second chances. And you need to hear that for you this morning. You need to hear that perhaps that God is not against you. He's for you. You need to hear this morning that God has a second chance for you to come back to him, to come back into that place of relationship with your heavenly Father, so that you too, like Jonah, can do all that God has got for you to do. So that you too, like Jonah, can step into all of the plans and purposes that he's got for you to fulfill in your life. You see, Jonah was lost, but God gave him a second chance. But we also know from what God says that Nineveh, that city, and all of the people living in that city, they were lost too. And then we read in this passage about their journey towards repentance, how they hear the word of the Lord, they hear of God's message of judgment, and yet they respond. In lots of ways, their hearts are softer towards God than Jonah's heart is, which is interesting in itself. And so in verse 10, we read this, that when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. You see, Nineveh was the worst city in the world, and God was proclaiming his judgment against it. But God's heart was still to give them a second chance. You see, God is a God who will give anyone a second chance, who will turn to him. And that means that there is no one who is beyond the grace of God. There is no one who has committed too many sins or too serious sins to receive a second chance from the Lord. But I think sometimes we as Christians fall into a trap. And the trap is this, of thinking that there's a kind of a special category of people, a special category of people who are just too difficult for God. Or perhaps a special category of people who are just too evil for the grace of God to reach them, too evil for a second chance. But I believe that no one is beyond the grace of God. And that means that sometimes we have to put aside our prejudices, our understanding and our thinking of the way that God works and of the people that God loves and the people that God wants to impact, so that we can truly partner with God's work in his world in sharing the good news of who Jesus is and all that Jesus has done and the coming of God's kingdom, because no one is beyond saving. Up in Harborne, my previous church, many of you will know that I ran a ministry called Healing on the Streets, where we would go out onto the streets, we set up some chairs, a 3-meter-high banner which said healing on it. And there we just offered to pray for anyone and everyone who came by. And it was there that I met a guy who came forward, and he said that he'd like some prayer. And he looked, you know, a bit of a sorry case. And so we sat down, we prayed for him. He didn't really share much about who he was, except that he just felt like he needed some prayer. And so he would actually come back week after week after week. He became a real regular. And as he did that, he began to share more and more of his story. And it turned out that this guy had just got out of prison. And he was in a kind of a halfway hostel between being housed somewhere properly and having kind of just got out of prison. But eventually the day came when he told us the reason why he'd been in prison. And he told us the reason why he'd been in prison was because he abused children. And there on the high street, I was praying for this man. And in my heart, I'll be honest, I was absolutely repulsed. And in my heart, all of these things started coming up in my heart about, is this man, is he too far for the grace of God? Is what he's done too serious and too bad to be able to receive the grace of God? And I had that wrestle within me. But he kept coming back, and we kept praying for him. And then the day came on, it was Easter, and I decided that I'd do this silly thing of kind of, you know, basically of thinking, you know, well, we had kind of Good Friday and then we've got kind of Easter Sunday, but Saturday's a bit of a kind of a funny day, isn't it? And so I thought, actually, well, why don't we just do something on the Saturday and go out onto the streets? And so we did something which I called communion on the streets, to give people an opportunity to come and receive communion out on the streets, just to see whether it would work. And actually, that day, this guy came. And he received communion on the street. And there, as he was being prayed for after receiving communion, he gave his life to the Lord. You see, no one is beyond the grace of God. No one is too far from the Lord or has committed too great a sin to be beyond the grace of God. And I wonder, what about us? Back closer to home today. When it comes to thinking about who does God want to share his love with? Who does he want to use us to impact? I think the answer comes from the vision that we've been sharing, that we're beginning to live with. That actually there is no one who's beyond the grace of God. And actually, God wants to touch each and every single person who lives in this community. And that's the heart, really, for the opening of the cafe. The reason why we're opening the doors of the church and having a cafe in the church is that so that people who live in our community can come in, can meet Christians, and can find out that actually we're not really that weird. Well, some of us are, obviously, but actually most of us, we're not weird. And actually, that's the heart of the cafe, is it's that people would come in and they would experience and meet a Christian, They'd come into church, and actually what they'd experience is very normal and very real. And actually to begin breaking down some of those barriers and misconceptions that sometimes people have about Christians and about church in particular. And actually that's all that you need to be able to do, to come and serve and to help with our coffee shop. Basically, that's all you need to be able to do. Is if you're not weird and you're able to talk to people and can pour a cup of coffee, then you are qualified to help with the coffee shop. And we really need your help. Because actually there is a whole load of people out there in our community who don't yet know Jesus. And actually by opening this coffee shop, our heart is, our desire is that people will take another step closer to coming to know Jesus. So if you're interested, if you'd like to find out more, then Janet's going to stand up now. And so is Kari. Happily on both sides of the building. Please do speak to one of these lovely ladies at the end if you'd like to find out more about helping out, because we'd really love you to be involved and to get involved in this particular part of our vision and making our vision truly live through the coffee shop. You can sit down now. Please do chat to them at the end. So God's heart is the God gives is a heart to give people a second chance. But the second thing is that God is a God of love and compassion. You see, God gives Jonah a message to preach. In 3 verse 4, we read this, that Jonah's preaching God's message of 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He goes throughout the city. And this is God's challenging message of judgment. But it's a message of judgment that's rooted in a desire that people would respond, that people would actually repent to the preaching of Jonah. And it gives that opportunity for the people to repent. And that reveals that God's heart for the lost is a heart that is so full of love towards them. A heart of God which is so full of kindness. The heart of God which is so gracious and so compassionate. And this is God's heart. This reveals God's heart for the lost. But it's also a challenge to me and to you, I think. The challenge of, do we also share God's heart? And when we do evangelism, do we accurately portray God's heart to the people? Now, I've been involved in evangelism for a long time now, whether it's on my own personally, whether it's on the streets doing various ministries, or actually in the church. And one of the key things that I've seen in all of the things that I've done is that so often the people that I meet know what the church stands against, but so few people actually know what the church stands for. Put it another way, many people already know and feel like they're alienated from God. Deep down inside, there is an empty hole. And people feel like God is angry with them, because actually that's the message that they've received from the church over many years. They already know that. Deep down inside, I think they really feel it. But the good news that we can share with them is that God is for them, that God loves them, He has compassion on them, that He's kind and compassionate, that He's good and that He's gracious. He's slow to anger and He wants a relationship with them. And that He's also made the way for that to happen through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And actually, I found that when you approach that in the right way, that is actually a mind-blowing message. I remember, again, being sat in a pub. Actually, I was stood in a pub this time because I was playing pool with some of my friends. And I say this with a hint of modesty, that I was actually beating all of my friends. And there was a guy there who kind of was obviously watching me thrash all of my friends at pool. And he walked up to me. I'd never met him before. And he walked up to us and he said to my friends, he said, "Do you want me to beat him for you?" And so they were like, "Yeah, go for it." Anyway, he lost. I just add that in just for the record. He did actually lose. But as we were playing pool, we got chatting. And it turned out that this guy was a Muslim. But he was a Muslim in a pub. Yeah, go figure. But anyway, that's another story. And so we were chatting. And eventually, I felt like there was something going on here. And so I ditched my friends and I said, "Hey, would you like me to buy you a drink?" And so we got a drink, we sat down at the table, and I had already shared with him that I was a Christian. And so he sat down and he went straight to the chase. He said, "You know, you Christians are wrong." I said, oh, okay, right, you know, why are we wrong? And he said, well, you think that Jesus is the Son of God, but us Muslims, we know that the Son of God could never die, God can never be killed, so therefore Jesus cannot have been the Son of God, he's just a prophet. And I began very gently just to talk to him about the love of God, to talk to him about the love of God and how it's the love of God that took Jesus to the cross. It's the love of God that took God to come to earth, to die in our place. And I began to very gently share about the kindness of God, God's compassion, his grace. And as I began to do that, this man's eyes began to well up with tears because he knew what it was to be alienated from God. He'd done things in his life that he wasn't proud of, but actually found in his own faith no place and no way to receive that forgiveness, to know that forgiveness. And he just sat there as I was explaining this, saying, I just cannot get this. I cannot comprehend this. I cannot get my mind around the love that you are talking about. And so I said to him, I said, would you like me to pray for you? And he said, yes. And in that pub, I just prayed with him as he wept, just experiencing and hearing about the love of God. You see, there, friends, we have an amazing message. We have amazing good news. But actually, sometimes so many of us, it's like our mouths are closed. And we don't know how to go about sharing. And we feel so like we have so little confidence in knowing how to talk about the things of faith. So little confidence in talking about the things that we believe. But actually, I believe that all we have to do is just break the sound barrier. We actually have to be prepared to put ourselves in that place of actually beginning to speak. And as we do that, God will give us the right words. He'll give us everything that we need. But we need to break the sound barrier. And I just wonder whether at this Christmas time, it's a great opportunity for us to try this out. We have so many different Christmas gatherings, Christmas services. We have so many opportunities to invite people to church. And there is not an easier time in the year than at Christmas to invite people to come. Because Christmas is such a celebration in the life of our nation. So my challenge to each one of us is actually this. Will you break the sound barrier this Christmas? Will you take that step of faith? Will you take an opportunity? Will you take a flyer perhaps this morning and then pray about and ask God, who does he want you to give that flyer to? And then to take that risk in actually breaking the sound barrier and talking to someone about your faith this year. So God's heart for the lost is a heart of second chances. God's heart is so full of love and grace and compassion for people. But what about us? Where is our heart this morning? Where's your heart this morning? Where's my heart this morning? And I wonder, the question I'd like to leave us with is this question. Do we need some heart surgery today? You see, that's what Jonah needed. And that's what God was clearly wanting to do in him in this story. And it's often what you and I need this morning. So let me ask you, do we have a hard heart this morning? Do you feel like you have love and compassion towards those who are lost? Do you have a heart that's cold this morning? Perhaps you once had that passion for the lost. Perhaps you once had a heart that was full of love and compassion for those who were lost. But perhaps your heart has grown cold. Perhaps you got caught up with life, with work, with family, with studying, with going out, with sport, whatever it may be. Perhaps your heart's grown cold this morning. Or perhaps it's better to say, or more accurate to say, that we've got hearts that are self-centered. And actually we're more concerned with our own comfort than we are with God's heart for the lost. Perhaps we're too worried about what others will think, so we don't speak out or invite people to events. Perhaps other people, the people that you know, don't even yet know that you're a Christian. And perhaps your own well-being and comfort is more important to you than those who are lost. I think we need to pray, friends. I think we need to pray that we would receive God's heart for the lost. So often I know that my own heart is hard. So often I know that my own heart is self-centered. It's so easy, isn't it, to adopt the pattern and the shape and the way of the world, rather than actually responding truly within our own hearts to the good news of Jesus ourselves, to recognize that we have the very best message in the world to share. And actually, all of us stuff it up. There are all times when we're more on fire for God and less on fire for God. And the reality is that all of us aren't perfect. We all fail. We all mess up. And we all need God's help and we all need God's grace. But actually, God's heart for the lost is a heart that is so full of love. And he wants to share with us that heart so that we might go out into all this world, into our community and to the communities that are represented here, and take the good news of who he is and all that he's done for us, that we may see his kingdom come. So why don't we pray together? And Paul's going to come and lead us in the rest of our service.
I had a verse I was going to use earlier that I didn't really have time for. A couple of people have started calling it the Roberto and Jackie verse. It's that verse from Ezekiel 11:19, where God says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. This morning, I just want to direct us, as Tim's done, in two ways. There may be people here whose hearts are hard towards God. It may be that you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, but you've come looking. But as a result of what Tim shared, you know that your heart is hard towards him, you're resistant. And this is a great opportunity to invite God's Spirit to soften your heart towards him. But I guess the vast majority, if we need anything this morning, is just what Tim was saying at the end. We need our hearts softened towards our family, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues. So that's what we're going to do. Can I invite us to stand? Can I invite you to stand, please? If that's okay. The musicians will gather and the